The following program contains swearing right from the fucking start.
Hello and welcome back to We Don't Do Stuff. I'm Sunny Dapp.
And I'm Jazz, and this is our podcast about stuff we don't do, but we will eventually.
So, Jazz, what have we missed in Birmingham this week?
You're always going to this too fast, man.
Do I? So I need to find something.
Last time?
Yeah, welcome back from last time.
Which was last week.
Yeah.
And if you listened to last week's show, I obviously nailed the intro this time. Even after practicing that many times.
Yeah.
But anyway, how have you been enjoying the weather? It's been the hottest summer in June.
Yeah.
In history, should I say.
You know, when I told you that fact, I don't know where I got it from. I just made the assumption that it has been.
It was your fact that you told me, which now you're telling me is a lie.
Yeah, it could be alternate facts.
But anyway,
yeah,
it has been a hot start to
the summer, isn't it?
British summer.
It's been awesome, man.
While we're recording, it's 1st of July, and today was a scorcher of a day.
Yeah.
So unless you've been hiding under a rock.
Which we recommend, because it's so hot.
In the UK, it's been scorching.
Yeah.
And the weather's been, the sun's out, guns out. And we don't mean that literally.
We're talking about your biceps, your pythons.
Exactly.
I was trying to reference someone from wrestling who isn't racist. I was like, pythons, like Hulk Hogan. No, not Hulk Hogan. Not Hulk Hogan.
What about Macho Man?
Yeah.
Did he die?
No, I think he did, you know. But someone was saying, right, that if in Spider-Man the film, if Spider-Man lost the wrestling match and Macho Man won, Macho Man would have stopped Uncle Ben's killer. And Uncle Ben wouldn't have got killed.
Really? How would have he stopped him?
Because obviously Spider-Man let the robber go after he robbed the wrestling match.
So you're on about the old Spider-Man.
I'm on about the one with Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire. Anyway, that's our Spider-Man section of the show done.
So you're asking me what did we miss this week?
Yeah.
Because obviously the weather's been good. There's been quite a few things going on. But some of the things that were going on, They wouldn't really appeal to you, Sonny.
Okay.
Being a non-drinker. So there was the Prosecco and Fizz Festival.
Okay.
I just remembered what section I was going to do about this.
Did you?
I was going to ask you, what is the difference between Prosecco and champagne? I think I know the answer.
I mean, I'm going to kind of guess. So are they both sparkling wines?
Yeah.
But champagne is obviously brewed. Made in that part of France,
and everything else has to be called
sparkling wine, isn't it?
Or Prosecco?
Is it? Oh, fuck knows, man. I don't know. I don't know where this massive trend of Prosecco turned up from. Is it like just cheap?
I think it's probably like equivalent to champagne.
Oh, okay, but anyway, I'm not here to be judgmental, man.
So anyway, if we had gone to the Prosecco and Fizz Festival, we might have found out what the difference is between the different sparkling wines. And that was on, it was in June, so it was like last month, which is literally yesterday. And so you could have gone to the 12:30 tasting session or the 6:30 tasting session, and it was probably
quite
the
long.
Biggest no I think it was just like two sessions
oh was it okay
So it was probably the biggest Prosecco festival hosted in historic iconic buildings in Birmingham.
No way.
And you get a free glass of Prosecco.
Yeah,
I don't know why they say it's free. You're paying for the ticket, so it's included in the price of your admission, basically. And it wasn't cheap, you know.
Well, of course, because they're giving away free glasses of Prosecco.
Anyway,
was it £50 a ticket?
Oh, this was I don't know how much it was.
Oh, cool.
This was right up your street, man.
Oh man,
the Juicy Dumpling Festival.
No way.
And you can taste liquor. It's a big, fat, steamy, fried
Dumplings. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. What did you pause on?
It says, because it says taste and liqueur brings together big fast. Oh, taste and liqueur must be the company's name.
Yeah, they're always doing stuff in Digbeth and all that.
Okay. So them that's the company's name.
So
it's the Juicy Big Dumpling Festival.
Nice.
That would have been in Digbeth.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Okay, what else do we miss?
So we missed that.
There's so much happening in Birmingham.
Okay, I don't know what this is a play on words of, but Sacks in the City.
Never heard of it.
Which would have been pretty good. It's basically a sax band, which was a free event.
Yeah.
Happening in Birmingham. And are you into like jazz music?
Jazz music. I don't know, you know. I don't think my only thingy at jazz, I suppose, would be Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons.
Hmm.
But other than that, I don't think I'm. Unless
saying that, we've been watching
Luke Cage 2, season yeah. 2, yeah.
And they've got some cool sax
jazz players, isn't it? Jazz That's players, true as well, yeah. You know.
You know what? Some of them are pretty cool in there.
Yeah.
So this again, it was similar to that. It's like the diverse and dynamic band brings together musicians from communities across Birmingham.
Yeah.
Continuing the legacy of their founder and the legendary jazz musician, Andy Hamilton.
Nice. That sounds
Isn't
good, you
he
know.
The mayor of
Quahog?
No, the mayor of Birmingham.
Andy Hamilton.
What's the mayor of Birmingham's name?
That's Andy Street.
Andy Street. I knew it was something like that.
Andy from the street. We've met him, you know. I met him.
Yeah. So anyway, we missed that. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
And it was free as well. But the problem was, it was that Saturday at 1:30.
And we were busy
eating croissants, I believe.
Yeah. We had a tea party. At that time.
And another thing which you probably wouldn't have enjoyed that happened in Birmingham was the Birmingham Rum Festival.
The Birmingham Run Festival?
Rum.
Okay.
Yeah, as in...
Running.
Bacardi Rum.
Oh, wait, I'm so confused. The Birmingham Rum Festival.
Yeah.
As in Bacardi alcohol. Rum, as yeah. in to alcohol. Okay.
So meet the people, hear the stories, taste the rich heritage of rum. Of the annual summer fiesta.
So is all the... I mean, you don't even probably know this. So is it stuff from Birmingham?
Yeah.
They made rum from... That's crazy.
No.
Okay.
It's just a festival about rum.
In Birmingham.
Happening in Birmingham.
Okay.
I don't think anyone makes rum in Birmingham.
I don't know. That'd be a first, isn't it?
Yeah. That was at this place called... The Cuban Embassy.
I think that's in Molesley or something, right?
Yeah, it's in Molesley, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been... interesting.
That's meant to be an alright place, you know. We're gonna go and check it out sometime, man. Go and check
it
out.
So we haven't actually done any of that. But I mean, you probably wouldn't have enjoyed a lot of it. It was a lot to do with drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
But the also other thing that we haven't been doing is watching the World Cup.
Yeah.
Love Island again.
Yeah.
What's happening?
To be honest with you, I went to get my hair cut and the barber had like he was watching like they had the game on, and I think it's Germany versus South Korea. And I had no interest in it. I think I was the only person in the barbers who was just looking at my phone and just carrying on with him. And then my barber picked up his eye. He's like, you're not watching the World Cup? I was like, it's not my thing, man.
You're not into it.
Not into it at all, man. Like,
and also, the other thing that happened in Birmingham was, Demi Lovato.
Yeah, I heard of her.
Yeah, so I think she had another concert in Birmingham.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know who she is, you know.
And that's when you know you get to a certain age, right? You're like, who are all these new people like the Beatles, who are these new people with the new music? George Michael, who the hell are these people? Yeah, that's what you get to a certain point, but I got no idea who Demi Lovato is.
Anyway, so I kind of feel that we didn't miss much in Birmingham.
Yeah, I'm happy to have missed all those things, man.
So even though we missed all those things, we did some other more interesting things.
Yeah.
Which are not coming to me off the top of my head.
Which are not, yeah.
So I'm going to pass it over to Sunny. So what have you been doing up to Sunny this
nice.
Week?
Nice. So it's been going good, man. Keeping up with going gym and stuff. That's been good.
Hmm.
And went to watch a few movies. Went to watch Sicario 2.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about later on. Went to watch... film at the Birmingham Indian Film Festival, which closed today.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And went town, which is Birmingham City Centre. And I
think it's because the weather was hot.
Yeah.
So we didn't do loads of stuff that was indoors. We did a lot of outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
So we spent some time with like
and basically and brains has been wiped because of the weather.
Yeah. It's been good though, right?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Yeah. I just got no idea what I've been up to.
So I'll tell you what I did. Like on Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday I had a professional event.
Yeah.
Which went down pretty well. Supposed to be doing this with my team, who are all new.
Okay.
They all turned up late. So I ended up just running the event myself. Which was fine. Not anything that I can't handle, but it was good.
Yeah.
So I had quite a good time with that. It's quite interesting. Met some, networked with some good people. So I had quite a good time with that.
Yeah.
What were you? Did you do anything Monday, Tuesday?
Nothing, man. I said, man, I literally just been going gym.
Did you have a rehearsal on Wednesday?
Yeah, we had rehearsal as well. That was interesting. So we're basically rehearsing for our show. So for those who don't know, I founded Jomprov, the UK's first ethnically diverse improvisational theatre company, and we have a show happening on Wednesday, the 25th of July, at the Island Bar. And it's after the World Cup and all that, and hopefully, you know, the sun's gonna be blazing. It's after the World Cup, and you basically just come down, grab a drink, and watch some comedy improv all made up on the spot.
Cheap drinks.
Cheap drinks, comedy. Man. Good comedy.
Yeah.
What more do you want, man?
In life. And it'd be after the World Cup, which we're not even watching anyway.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you mentioned as well, Sonny, that we went to town. So we went to Birmingham City Centre. And we went to House of Fraser. So if you've been listening to the news, House of Fraser's going to be closing.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of footfall they've got, basically.
So people not coming into the store often.
Coming into the store, yeah.
I think, to be honest with you, like, there was, like, back in the day, and that part of town, you know, that used to be, like, that used to be the joint in it. Everyone's like, wow. But as soon as the Bullring opened up, that just zapped a lot of customers.
Yeah. Like, so I don't think it's just a... I mean, like, there's a few shops that have closed down, like Maplin's closed down.
Toys R Us.
Toys R Us as well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, loads, man. There was, you know, as soon as it closed down, you just forget about them, innit?
Yeah.
There was the other one as well, man. Is it BHS?
Yeah.
Woolworths?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you just don't think about, like, these shops, and you just think...
And also the jobs as well, man. Like, the amount of people, man. Like, holy cow.
Mm. I remember my friend, because, like, back in the day, CNA closed.
Yeah.
And our friend who listens to the podcast as well, he told me that what he does is he would write that he worked at that shop.
So we don't know. We can't mention his name,
yeah,
can we?
Can't mention his name.
Oh, man.
So to get more jobs, is. He would write that. I used to work at CNA.
Yeah.
And he would write that he was a section leader or something like that. Because no one's going to find out whether they had a reference or anything.
Yeah, holy.
You can't get a reference, right?
That is crazy. I'm just trying to think of something that...
So you could say, like, you know, for Maplin, you was... You could say that you was a...
Assistant manager.
Assistant manager.
Exactly, no, yeah. A shopper assistant, they're not gonna know.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah. Can you get in trouble for lying on your CV?
I think you can, you know.
Yeah.
But the amount of people that get a job and then they be like, oh, I don't know how to do this, you're thinking, you bullshit on your CV.
On your CV, yeah.
Somewhere you lied.
Straight up, you know.
You came in all confident during the interview. I just wanna see that confident person that I employed. Where has that person gone? And who is this morning individual? No, I don't know where that's come from. But yeah, that's interesting, man. What's in terms of interview experiences, have you ever had, like, what's it been like? I didn't say your worst. What's been your worst experience in an interview?
Me, I'm literally trying to stay quiet because I know it's going to delve into my work thing, which I don't
Okay, I'll tell you an interesting story then. So basically, I went for an interview for a job, and it kind of felt like, as if, like, there was a rapport there, and I was like, I was getting most of the answers correct. But that's one thing you can always do in an interview, when you can buy yourself some more time by saying, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean by that. And then the person will have to explain you
again yeah.
while you're trying to, you know. And it's fine, you know, it's just it's part of the lore in when you go for interviews. But at this particular interview, it kind of felt as if they weren't physically, but it felt like if they physically had signs with the answers held up. Because they're like, oh, everything's so close. And then you ever had this thing where, like, you finished the interview and everyone's like, we were saying goodbye and all that. We're just having a normal conversation. But then you just say something and then it kind of just disturbs ruins the whole thing. And then you're thinking, no, I didn't really mean that. Like, yeah.
But basically they say, like, the interview starts from the moment you walk in.
Yeah, it's same with an audition as well, yeah.
So the moment you walk into the moment you leave, that's your interview. But anyway, we're not talking about interview stuff, but I have thought of one.
Okay.
So ages ago, I went for an interview with this company that I'm not going to mention. And they asked me a question, which I should know the answer to. And I do know the answer to. But in the interview, you just say, like, you know, under pressure, you just say
That's a crazy thing as well, yeah.
So, like, I said what I said, and the whole panel turned around and were like, look, that's wrong what you said.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I knew it was wrong when I was saying it.
Yeah.
But I said, look, everyone calm down. I know it was wrong.
Yeah.
But now let me tell you why it was wrong and why I said it.
Yeah.
And what the correct answer is.
Okay.
Anyway, I did end up getting that job.
Nice.
And they were basically saying that the reason I got the job was because I owned up to that it was my mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I acknowledged that it was my mistake. I corrected it, and I didn't make them, like, lose confidence in me and my ability. Like, it literally just turned around.
That's
and said,
awesome, yeah.
Yeah. literally just turned around and said to them, look, I understand that I made the mistake and this is why I did it, but this is what the correct answer is. And they were like, fine.
And that's amazing because, exactly, because you... Wow, that is pretty cool, man. Because the flip side of that could be the worst thing where you, like, you know, you make the mistake in the interview and then you try to literally blame someone else.
Blame someone else. Because you asked me wrong.
Or you'd be like, wait a minute.
You didn't phrase the question properly.
Yeah, dude. And then it's like, are you a team player? And you're there like, I did this and I did that. While you're there in the interview. But that's interesting. So, So all these shops are closing down. So we went to House of Fraser. They had a sale on.
Yeah,
bringing it back to what
I think. I think the sale was pretty good, to be honest. I thought they had some good stuff.
I think they've always had good stuff. So every time I go in there, man, the people have always been friendly and helpful as well.
But every time I've been there shopping and brought something, like they always give you like they used to give you like loads of freebies and samples for everything.
Yeah, it used to be crazy, man. You'd go in and they'd be like, oh, have this, have this, have that.
So like I used to find that buying the stuff from the shops,
yeah,
you used to get better stuff. But the problem is that, you know, like shops like Maplin and Woolworths and all this,
Toys R Us,
like the companies used to cut the staffing levels down so much that when you go in, the customer had a bad experience of shopping in their shop.
Yeah.
For example, we went to Curry's and we asked the guy for advice because we wanted to buy a laptop.
Yeah.
So we were literally saying, we are going to buy a laptop today.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk away with the laptop. It's fine. We're going to get it. And the guy serving us put us off, didn't he?
Yeah. Because he basically didn't... We're talking about bundles and packages and all that. And he just went for the full-on, full-sale package. And we were like, whoa, that's a bit too much.
Yeah.
But he could have broke it down and said, look, there's bundle 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And you can get it cheaper if you knock
off the package. But he didn't communicate and talk to us.
Yeah.
He literally said, this is the laptop, this is what I got. And on top of that, he didn't say to us... He basically gave us a bad experience, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, the product's not in stock anyway.
Yeah.
And he goes, you can search it online, but it's not in stock online. He didn't offer us any alternative. He didn't turn around and say to us, why didn't you have the alternative colour laptop?
Yeah.
Which we were also willing to have.
Yeah.
But anyway, so for that reason, some of the shops that shut down, I can see why they shut down.
Mm.
Because they don't give people a good experience, really.
Yeah. Mm. That's true, though, because it's been a while, though, since I went to a store like that. And that's actually when we wanted to buy something.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't even want anything and you end up getting half talked into buying something because the people are like, hey, let's make a sale. But here, you know, it wasn't as if like, because you mentioned staffing level, it wasn't mega busy.
Yeah.
It's hot summer's day. You know, no one goes to Curry's to buy a laptop or anything.
Yeah.
There was loads of staff.
There was about three or four people.
Three or four staff literally standing around listening to music.
And just talking to each other, weren't they?
And like, I had to literally go up and say, yo, mate, I want to buy a laptop.
Yeah.
Which I don't really want to buy now because, but that's the thing, man. Like, you gotta, with a customer, you gotta look after the customer, man.
Anyway, rant over on that. So, what was the next other thing that we did?
I think that's it, man.
I think the other thing that we did was we went to watch Sicario.
So, Sicario 2. Yeah, that was awesome.
So, we went to watch Sicario 2, and we also went to watch, this independent film.
It's called Venus.
Venus, yeah. So should we talk? So we'll keep them both spoiler free.
Yeah.
Which one you want to do first?
Sicario. Obviously, we'll do Sicario first.
So Sicario 2, yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah, so Sicario 2 stars Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin. And it's a sequel to the first film, Sicario.
Yeah.
And the first film, for me, I've like, I never heard about it. Like, I never even heard about it. I don't think I even watched it in cinema.
Hmm.
And I think I caught it afterwards on download, digital download, and I was watching it. And I was thinking, you know where I watched Sicario? I watched it on the plane.
Did
to
you?
Dubai, yeah. Like, it was one of them.
You told me to watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was... And you watch that film, and you don't think it needs a sequel, because you think, where are they going to take it?
Yeah.
So... That's what this film was about. And I don't think you need to watch Sicario, the first film, Sicario 1, to watch Sicario 2. So you can still watch it. So Sicario 2 is a continuation, but it's not a direct continuation. It just features the same characters, but if you haven't seen the first one, you can still enjoy the second one. So Sicario 2 kicks off, you know... Actually, what is it? What is it about?
I think keep it spoiler-free.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. I'm trying not to...
So it's literally about, like, the Mexican... border Mexican cartel.
Yeah.
And the Mexican gangs and the way that they are doing human trafficking.
Yeah.
And they're saying, like, the biggest commodity that pays the most amount of money, more than drugs itself, is people.
People, yeah.
Like, moving people between the borders.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, the tighter the border becomes, the more that those cartels can charge.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about the film was that it showed a lot of things from different angles, and it didn't try to explain the story too much.
Yeah.
So there was the bits that were going on that were good, that were interesting. And throughout the whole film, I was like quite... Okay, initially when the film started, yeah, I thought, because I think me and you thought the same thing, right?
Yeah.
That this looks like an American propaganda film.
About immigration and about border control.
About terrorism.
At one point, I was thinking, like, did fucking Trump bankroll this film?
Yeah.
Like, is this a secret, like... But then it's not that. It starts off for the first 5 minutes like that.
Yeah.
And then it changes to what it is. And you can see why it started off like that.
Yeah.
Because in the film, the characters and the government in the film go somewhere to employ someone to sort out the situation. And that someone is Josh Brolin's character. And then, you know, they get someone else on board, which is Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them are just phenomenal actors, man. Like, like Josh Brolin. To me, like, obviously, I've known more of like Benicio Del Toro's work more than Josh Brolin's, and I think obviously, yeah, just seeing them both work together is awesome. And yeah, the film was awesome, like wicked. Yeah.
Like, I was gonna say, like, for myself, like watching it, I was like proper into the film.
It was tense,
and it was tense. It was a thriller. And I was watching it, and I was like, really, like, thinking, shit, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. So you're on your edge of your seat.
The edge of your seat was tense, wasn't it?
It was proper, and it's violent.
Yeah.
And it's not one of these flashy action films. People are not saying cool things.
Yeah.
It's just literally, it felt, and if this is a sign of a good film, it felt like we're literally just watching the events unfold.
Yeah, it felt like it was really, like...
Flying the wall.
Like, it's, like, rooted in reality, and it was, like, some of it was...
And it was to the point where you are... Your stomach's churning because you're thinking, this is horrible.
Yeah.
You know, there's things happening.
And you could just imagine a lot of it being...
Reality. You could imagine, and based on reality as well.
Mm.
And I think... Yeah. I definitely recommend watching it.
Yeah.
And it's not... Don't confuse this for being another, like... For some reason, it came out in the summer when, you know, you get all these summer popcorn films.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be all like, hey, and everything ends. You know, it's not a spoiler, but generally, you know, this was a very gritty reality...
I think 100% this is my kind of film, man. I like it. Yeah. I watched it and I thought, you know what? I like these kind of thriller, action kind of movies that are like a little bit rooted in reality as well. There's quite a few actors that I have that I know that they've been in other things, because like when I was checking them on Internet Movie Database, I thought, okay, so that person's been in that, this and that. But the other person that was good was the little girl. So her name was Isabella Moner.
Yeah, no, she was really
also
good.
Played, the character was called Isabel Reyes as well.
Yeah.
But she was in Transformers, you know.
Oh, that's why she looked familiar, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you see the stark quality and the difference. Obviously, the writing was awesome, isn't it? So Sicario, too. Like she was wicked.
Yeah.
I even seen this last night, man. I couldn't sit through it.
Yeah, I think she was one of the main characters as well, so that was really good. And there were just loads of like really good.
I think the child actors were really good.
Yeah.
Like they sold it, they sold it for what it was. That was awesome. But I definitely recommend watching it. Would I watch it again? I think I would, but I think I'd either have to go on a weekend where there's nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd like. But yeah.
I think I'd definitely recommend it. I'd definitely watch it again.
Yeah.
And how many stars?
I gave it.
Yeah.
What are you gonna say? How many stars or how many? How many? the funny
thing is, like, four stars.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna go with four Sicarios.
So basically, the film is called Sicario 2, but
yeah,
it's got about three different names, hasn't it?
So it's called
Sicario Soldado.
Yeah,
Sicario Day of the Soldado, Sicario 2. It's just got like loads of different variations to the name, but the Day of the Soldado means the Day of the Soldier.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was very much like the other interesting thing was like how people get recruited into these violent gangs.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't the main story, but it was, the plot was definitely there.
It was there, they were showing that.
Yeah.
And that's another thing as well, because we never get to see that. Unless I'm not watching the right films, but it was interesting seeing that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we just see the end product.
Yeah. And it wasn't like none of this, like, you know, like trying to make it obvious that, look, this is the reason why this person got involved. Yeah. Because I think the kid who got involved in the gang,
yeah,
it seemed like he just did it out of boredom.
Yeah.
Like, he just wanted to just be cool.
Yeah.
He wanted to be like his cousin in it.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like. So I thought that was quite interesting, because, you know, like, people are, like the things that influence are like multifactorial, aren't they? Like the different things,
yeah,
the influence of like the slightest 2-3 words that someone says could literally influence the person's whole life.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's quite interesting, like, it seeing is. Like that, and not having somebody having to narrate the story to you. Something is
it
good, man.
It tells
good
for better film. Storytelling. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Do you think, actually, that might go into spoiler territory, but yeah. I think it was amazing. Like, I think, like, this summer, man, like, actor Josh Brolin has been in, like, three good films,
yeah.
From, like, Thanos in the Infinity War, Cable in Deadpool.
Yeah.
And
Matt Graver
in, Sicario 2.
Yeah. It's been good, man. Good film.
And you get to see, like, all... But to be honest with you, though, there was times when I was watching Sicario 2 and I could just hear and see Thanos's facial expressions and I was thinking, this is wicked, like,
yeah,
especially with the way he's, oh man, I think it was wicked, absolutely wicked. But yeah, what about the other film we went to watch?
So basically it was the British Indian Film Festival. You want to say something about it?
Yeah, so this is British Indian Film Festival is in its fourth year. It's founded and run by Dhamesh Rajput. He's a great organizer, and yeah, it's just awesome. And this year was great, because they said they had so many great movies and films, and every, you know, the whole thing was just awesome. Like, you know, people were engaging with it, people loving it.
So I think they had the festival was happening in three of the major cities around UK.
Yeah.
So it was London, Manchester, Birmingham.
Yeah.
And they had 27 films showing this time. So I think it was like one of the larger events happening.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, one of the larger film screenings that they had.
And
it was backed by a lot of people, weren't they?
Yeah. And I think it's really important, because, you know, the films that do get shown, are they, you know, very art house films, or the documentaries or things that don't normally have a mainstream appeal.
Yeah.
Because anytime, you know, obviously Bollywood is a part of Indian cinema, but sometimes they're very far apart. You know, and Bollywood, obviously with its name, is very synonymous to, in terms of the mainstream appeal of Hollywood movies.
I think basically Bollywood is like escapism, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is fine. Like, yeah. I think...
So they show movies that people are going to enjoy watching, like... Yeah. People to get away from their normal lifestyle.
Yeah.
Whereas like these gritty films that are of the real time, of like what's happening in real in reality in India, people probably don't like them because it reminds them of the situation that they're in. Whereas,
and we see this in like in America as well, where you know, sometimes there's films that are just too raw for people. Ages ago, a recent film came out called Detroit. I think it had, so that was based in America, and it's based on like the riots, and you know, a lot of people didn't go and watch that because it was just too raw to what's happening now.
Yeah.
So
we didn't go to watch all the films.
Yeah.
Which I kind of regret.
Yeah.
But this is why we do this podcast, because we don't do stuff and we need to.
Yeah.
So we went to watch the final film of the festival, which is called Venus, and Dhamesh gave Sunny complimentary tickets. So Sunny's name was on the guest list, and my name was always listed as just plus one, as always.
It was guest.
Was that listed as guest?
No, it's fine, don't worry.
So we went to the film, and the film was shown in the MAC in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And the MAC is Midlands Arts Centre.
Yep.
And is it publicly run, public funded, or government funded?
It's both. They got I mean, yeah, it receives, well, it used to receive loads of public funding, but then it got cut. So it's both, it's public funded and, private.
So it's like a theatre, basically, isn't it?
It's awesome. Yeah. Massive theatre, communication hub, workshops. I definitely recommend checking it out.
Gallery.
Art gallery, everything is there, and it's...
And it's on some nice grounds as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and the Cannon Hill Park's right next to you as well. So it is a very beautiful place, man. Like,
so, you know, you can imagine that being busy over the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, like family, kids and all that. Okay.
So anyway, so we went to watch this movie called Venus. So it's directed by Aisha Majara. Why am I saying the difficult names today, Sonny? It's normally you messing these things up.
No, I think you got it spot on.
So it's basically a comedy drama, and it's a dramatic comedy about a transitioning woman who discovers that she's the father of a 14-year-old boy. And the film kicks in pretty much straight away, doesn't it?
And that's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like really long origin story.
Yeah.
It was just like,
about
boom.
About how the boy figured it out. And none of that.
Yeah.
It was literally, he found out.
Yeah, and even from like the characters, like we see the character who's Sid, and he's played by Sid is played by
Debargo Sanyal,
so it's awesome because this film kicks off straight away with the main character Sid, who's at the time is a a gay man? Is that the right term?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or basically, someone who hasn't... But anyway, okay, so it starts off with Sid. And Sid basically says, I don't feel like I'm in the right body. I'm paraphrasing now. I feel like
I'm in a costume.
Or something like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from an otherworldly shot. And the first shot was awesome because the first shot is we see space...
Yeah.
We see the cosmos and it was like, okay, what is this? Where is this?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, this is cool. And she, you know, Sid says, the character says, I feel like I'm from a different planet. I feel like I'm from Venus.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's about being, feeling alien in the current body that
he's in,
He's in, yeah.
So he was saying that basically, like, he feels detached from the body that he's in. Like, he feels like it's a costume that he can't take off, basically.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the name of the film?
So men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
I got that reference here.
Yeah.
But personally, I didn't like the title of the film.
Venus. Yeah.
Yeah, because it didn't grab me, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, I had to... Because before we went to watch it, I did check what it was about.
Yeah.
And I did think to myself that, you know what, after watching the movie, I was thinking if this had a different title,
yeah,
it might have made it a little bit more appealing to me to watch.
Okay.
So like, even it, I don't know what you would have called this film, but it could have just been something else. But I think Venus was a bit of too much of an abstract name. Yeah. I think it seems like that was the name that they thought of in pre-production.
Mm. And like a working title.
A working title, and they just stuck with it.
Okay.
Maybe not. Unless... But to me, like, it wasn't an interesting name for the title of the movie. I think we've said we've found this quite a lot last year as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
So like, for example, what was that film called? That 2049. Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're saying, was it Blade Runner 2049?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make sense. Like, nobody knew what that film was about.
Yeah, like all the younger people going in.
Yeah.
Like some people who saw that original film so many years ago would know about it.
And there was another film as well which you said that, you know, that film had a shitty title.
Okay.
Which might have put people off watching it. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, I think this film, if you had a better title,
yeah,
it might have been a bit more appealing. But overall, I'm glad that I went to watch it.
It was like, good. I didn't know what to expect from this film. And, you know, sat down, watched it. And the thing I loved about it was, you know, it was funny. You know, the characters brought the comedy chops in. And, yeah, it was just great just seeing something different on screen as well.
I think the main guy, Sid, who's played by Debargo Sanyal, I think that he was good as a comedy.
Yeah, he was wicked in it.
His comedy deliveries were good.
Was spot on, man.
And when he was doing his serious
dramatic stuff.
Dramatic stuff. That was good as well.
Yeah.
So I think like he had a good balance, and like again like this also felt like it was a film that was depicting real life as well.
Mm.
And like, you know, like, so the guy was there, like, obviously going through these changes with himself.
Yeah.
And then he just keeps getting hit with stuff. Like, you know, like he finds out that he has a son.
Yeah. And that was awesome as well, because that basically it was this guy trying to live his life. And that's what people say what life is. Life is you trying to just, you trying to make plans. I think one of the Beatles said it. And you just got shit just hitting you.
Yeah.
And something felt like what was going on with,
I'm not saying that him having the son's like an issue, but like, you know, he's
him just finding out about it when you're just literally trying to get your own.
Walked out of work or whatever and just find out they got a son.
Yeah,
so that was shocking. That was funny. And then also like his ex returning as well.
Yeah,
and then he's trying to tell his parents that he's trans.
Yeah, because his parents really know that he's gay, but they don't know that he's trans.
Yeah,
yeah,
and his co-workers.
Yeah.
Trying to like work through that as well,
and they're just treating him differently because even though he's the same person, they just couldn't comprehend that. So,
this is what I mean. Like, there was so many layers to the film that was like so good. Like, he just thought, you know what, like, it kind of did show what a trans person would be going through, if they were actually going through those changes, but without making it obvious, Like, you know, it was literally that was happening. In the film.
Yeah.
But there was other elements to the film with, so like it was still a good romantic comedy kind of thing as well.
No, it was I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. I think another thing what I liked as well is that, you know, the other characters, supporting characters, were really good as well.
Yeah.
They weren't caricatures or stereotypes. Yeah. They felt like really you know, human people with human problems. Yeah. Like, you know, you had
Daniel.
Daniel.
So you're on about the kid.
Sorry.
Jamie Mayers,
yeah. So Ralph was really good as well. The chemistry between Ralph and Sid. So Ralph is Sid's son, who Sid didn't know about. That was really good chemistry there with the characters. The mom and dad, Sid's mom and dad, Zena Darawala, and Gordon Warnick. Great thingy there as well. You know, afterwards we were talking about this film as well, and it was great how, you know, the writer and the director, Aisha, you know, she wrote the characters, and they gave, obviously, that, not obviously, so the mum reacted and she was kind of just pissed, but the dad was like, whatever, man, look, you know, we're just trying to make this.
Yeah, so like it was like the characters, they weren't from like the 80s or the 90s
or even like
all the characters were in the modern day, innit?
Yeah,
so like, you know, like some people in the modern day would accept that people are trans, gay, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So like the son accepted it. He goes that, like, you know, he goes, he's still my dad, I can call you mommy if I want, but whatever, innit? And then the Sid's dad,
yeah,
he also accepted that, you know, whatever, innit, like, it's fine, it's my son, innit?
Yeah.
And like the mother was trying to accept it, but she's obviously like having emotional feelings to like what was going on. So yeah, it was good, man. But so after the movie, yeah, how many stars would you give it?
I'd give it, as I said, four stars.
Yeah, four stars. Yeah. I think I would give it as well. I think definitely check it out. So if there's another film festival, it's not getting a wider release, is it?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think, I don't know if it is, but it's when they were saying that it should be playing at some more festivals, and then they also talked about that, how it's not got picked up by many festivals. And I was thinking, so this obviously must be down, obviously we don't know why, but, you know, the thing, I don't understand why it's not, because it's...
Because the festivals it's been in.
Yeah.
It's won awards, hasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a good film. It's a good comedy.
So the direction was good. The acting was good. Yeah. The storyline was good.
The writing was good as well. That shit was like, what the director's written is just like wicked. Like, I want to see more of her stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then she gave us an exclusive. I don't know how much of exclusive is, why we've mentioned it, but, you know, they're looking to develop this film as a longer series.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that'd be perfect, because the characters are great.
Yeah.
The relationship and the chemistry between the characters is good. Mm. the storyline's good, and you know, we're not seeing this anywhere on TV.
Yeah,
we're on TV, and even Netflix to an extent is churning out the same cis white male stories. And you're thinking like, that's, you know, that's boring. And this was great because the character, the main character, Sid, you know, he was fucking hilarious.
He was a funny man, isn't he?
There was a bit in the film where, you know, there's a lot of tension, a lot of screaming and shouting.
Yeah.
And he just says one thing and he turns the fucking entire scene around, and the audience were laughing in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's the characters there, like, you know. And I think as we keep talking about stereotypes, obviously racial stereotypes with, you know, the people like portrayed as real people, and even the gay stereotypes, they were non-existent as well. They're portrayed as real people, and even this even Sid as well, as a person who's transitioning, was played down as a real person. I think that's what made it good, and that's where the comedy came from as well, because it wasn't, oh, look at these people who are different than us, and we're going to other them, and we're going to make them to something else, and we're going to laugh at them because they're different from us. It was the fact that no, they're actually more alike than us, and we got more in common, and they are fucking human beings just like us, and that's what was great about it. So yeah, I think I'll definitely recommend this to people. And if you're like myself and Jazz, cis men, you think, oh, this is a comedy about someone who's transitioning, I might not be interested in that. This is a comedy about people trying to get on with their life, and every other turn just getting some fucking news dropped to them, and how they're trying to counteract with that news.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's like real life, man.
It is, man. It was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's definitely worth checking out if you can go to a film festival to have a look at it.
I just hope that it gets released on like download or something like that.
But I think if this got down, if they've got released like a wide release, I think it would be a good film, innit? Like, you definitely think that it was 100% worth watching, innit?
And even if it just gets down to if it was on Netflix, man, I would definitely tell people to watch it, or even just like, I don't know, man. Like, it just needs to get out there. It needs to be seen.
Definitely. So what we got planned next week?
I've probably got more rehearsals. Tuesday, myself and Jazz are going to Theatre Copper, and that's a networking event for creatives based in the Midlands.
Yeah.
That's happening at the old joint stock.
Yeah, I kept thinking you're saying Theatre Copper, but it's a Theatre Copper, innit?
Yeah. Like
Theatre Copper, innit?
But no teas presently. You buy drinks from the bar. Actually, no, there is tea there. What am I saying? I retract that statement. I just remembered last time I went there was biscuits.
Okay, but no tea.
No, there's going to be tea there. That's so why I had the beer to copy, yeah.
Yeah. And then Wednesday?
Wednesday, I've got rehearsal. Thursday, we're doing a photo shoot. We're updating the pictures for Jumprov.
Yeah.
So we're going to be around Digbeth getting some photo shoots.
Friday is... Saturday, Sunday as well, we've got a wedding that we're going to in Bedford.
We've got a wedding happening,
so that should be good. But hopefully we might do some more stuff. We booked tickets to go to the Bodyworks
with one of our friends,
which Sonny doesn't ever recall me telling him, which I 100% told him.
Holland, and first time I'm hearing about this.
Also, I've booked tickets to speed dating.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think it's funny that one of the sponsors was Asian Single Solutions for that thing?
Yeah.
Like for the Indian Film Festival?
Yeah.
I was thinking, who the hell are they?
Anyway. I just thought it was just, so you go on speed dating, I need to get back on speed dating. I've been taking a rest, man.
So did we have any emails and tweets?
No, but I think... The director of the film, we were chatting to the director of the film and the star.
Yeah.
One of the stars, Gordon.
Yeah.
She was, oh, I know you guys.
Yeah, the director was like, that podcast.
Yeah, the director was like, I've seen your tweet. And they were like, yay.
So we got a picture with her, so we put that on Twitter. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
But other than that, nothing else.
Okay, so if you want to email us, you can email us at wedontdostuff@gmail.com. And if you want to at us on social media, it's We Don't Do Stuff. So Tuna McCartney, everybody. That means no problems. Thanks for listening.
And I'm independent.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.